street trip thing about 20 years ago, and I started, the Second Thessalonians, to me, made it clear there's something wrong with the free trip. Like you talked about, we'll go back to our chart, that when we did Daniel 9, we saw that there's a 7-year period, right? But when you read Matthew 24, Mark 13, Luke 21, and the book of Revelation, it starts to fill in what happens during the 7-year period. And so we saw that there in the middle of the week, you have the abomination of desolation, right? Well, we're told that we're going to see that event. So to me, that eliminated a pre-trip rapture right here. And then we also saw that the day of the Lord was here. And I think there's a lot of questions about what happens during this time. I think it's where a lot of confusion comes, because there's a ton of things that happen that day. Because everything is really poured out on this day. The resurrection, the rapture, the judgment, Armageddon, it really does happen on this day. And I think some people struggle, well, how can everything happen in a 24-hour period like that? I just asked the question, how long does it take for you to get raptured and resurrected?
The twinkling of an eye.
So now you still have 50, you have still have 24 hours, 59 minutes, and 59 seconds to fill in this gap. And I think this is where a lot of questions are coming. And then, of course, you have your millennial reign. And then you have the great white throne judgment, right? Here. I think we're all on the same page that the resurrection and the rapture are the same event, right? Here.
Amen.
For the just and the unjust.
Yes.
In the hour of temptation, what is that in all of them? Or sorry, is that something totally different?
Well, see, a lot, that's what I say, a lot of, we'll get to it.
Okay.
But I'll just say this. Think of one event that is going to try the whole world.
Right.
That is going to tempt the whole world to say, you do this and you can live, or if you don't.
Mark of the Beast.
Right.
So.
And so there's a specific, that would be the hour that everyone, well, how long did it take them to shut down the whole world?
That's right.
About
that's
25
right.
minutes.
That's right.
Right?
Yeah.
And so they shut down the whole world.
So that, so to me, that we're kind of chasing rabbit trails.
Yeah.
And believe me, there was this question like, let's not have any questions till afterwards. I bring them on. You know, because I think if you try to hold your questions till the end, then you'll forget the question. So we're going to do this slowly. We're going to take our time, and we're all going to come together in unity on it. So if you have questions, I say bring them on, or comments, or whatever. Like I said, I don't claim to know everything, but I've been studying it for 20 years, and I think God has really opened the door for me. And when I started seeing that there was something wrong here, a pre-trib rapture, the two words God gave me were tribulation and wrath. So,
so when we get to the halfway mark, you're looking at the halfway mark is when the pig is slaughtered at the temple, right?
When he stops.
Yeah.
So here they're going to build their temple, right? Mm-hmm. So don't forget, it says that the covenant is confirmed here, the covenant,
right.
Which means it's already in place. And I'll say this, I think a lot of things Trump did.
Yes.
We're
same
good.
Thing,
we're good things.
Yeah.
I mean, he's looking for peace in the Middle East. So the Antichrist comes in. He doesn't make a peace treaty and they go out on the White House lawn and shake hands so the whole world could say it. It just says he confirms a covenant with many.
Right.
And that covenant is going to be, okay, you people have a right to the Temple Mount. You can put your temple up and build it and start the sacrifice.
Which
so
is
has that occurred? You're saying that has already occurred?
I think the covenants are already in place.
Yes.
And then has the temple been, that hasn't started?
So here you go. So if the covenant's, and this is why these things get confusing. So let's say the covenant is confirmed here. That starts the 7-year period. Does the temple go up 5 seconds later? It's going to take time.
Sure.
For them to build the temple and start the daily sacrifice.
But it hasn't started yet. Like, the
right.
hasn't been broken.
Right. So, and this gets deep, but there's some numbers in Daniel 23 that said 2,300 days.
Right.
That's most likely this event. Because
okay.
if you take 2,300 from here and move it backwards, you're talking about a about a 4 to 6 month period by the time they build the temple and start the sacrifice.
Okay.
That's exactly what they're saying right now, too.
Yeah.
Israel says that they had, if people that have been to Israel and have an association with, say that Israel says they are ready.
Right.
Everything ready.
Yeah.
In wait.
Yeah.
It's like the whole construction unit is there.
Really?
Just waiting for it.
They're
waiting to
see. And
it would only take about 6 weeks more to build.
Yeah, there you go. And
they have all supplies are on site and ready.
So there's a problem there, too, right? Because the dome is a.
Right.
But they're starting to realize now where the wall is, where the wall, that that was part of the temple.
That was part of the temple.
That was part of the buildings of the temple proper. So they say, you can put a temple there and still have the mosque over there on the same temple mount.
Yes, there's enough acreage. And what Trump started the Abrahamic Accords, all right, that making peace with the when Israel was separated from Jacob and Esau, he started making peace with Esau and Jacob again, bringing them back together, which they have not done since Jacob left Esau.
That's
you
right.
Know, way back then.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So, Tom, do you think that when they all come together, that's when it's really going to start?
Yeah, well,
he says right now they've only got just a few people, basically, or
that we know of.
That we know of.
Right.
But aren't they going to, isn't that going to be more when everybody, when they all come together?
Well, remember the rider on the horse, right?
Yeah.
Revelation chapter 6.
Right.
He's riding, he has the bow and a crown, and he talks peace. He's a great speaker. Daniel talks about the little horn rising up out of one of the 10 horns
that
boasted great things. He's a peacemaker.
Right. Yeah.
And so the covenants are already signed, but then they have to be affirmed. Daniel talks about the affirming of the covenant. That's
right.
Saying, all right, this is good. And I don't know if you're thinking about all the Islamic nations around the world.
I don't think of all of the nations around the world. I'm thinking basically of the tribes that we're talking about, the 12 tribes, because I don't think all of them have gotten to that point yet.
The 12 tribes of Israel have. Remember, there's 12 that came out of Esau. There were 12 that came out of Ishmael. So now we have a total of 24 different descendant groups out of the two people that came from Abraham and from Isaac. Okay, so all you need is 24.
Okay. This is kind of him going I'll just say this about this, and then we'll get started on this. That's what I said. It says he confirms the covenant.
Right.
Like he said, the 10 horns. What Revelation 17 says, the 10 horns, that they have no power yet, but they make peace together. There's a covenant. The 10 horns are Psalm 83. They are Islamic nations. It's not wrong. They are Islamic nations.
Yeah.
The Antichrist is called the Assyrian.
Right.
He comes out of that area, the Levant, the Middle East.
Yeah.
It's them that have to make the peace treaty. The Jews aren't at war with Rome.
Right.
They're not at war with Washington, D.C. or New Zealand. Their problem is the Middle East. That's where the peace treaty comes from.
Right.
Revelation 17 says the 10 horns. Well, the 10 horns are found in Psalm 83.
Right.
They're Islamic nations. So that's who's going to make a peace treaty with them. They're going to say, okay, you have a right to the temple and to sacrifice.
Yeah.
So, but like I said, what I want to do, I want to encourage. So I want some people to read again like we did last week. Before we get started, because we talk about things, persecution, suffering, but I always want to encourage you like we did last week. So I get some different readers. Nancy? Isaiah 61, 1 through 3. Doug, Ezekiel 1, 1, and then 26 to 28. Jen, Revelation 4, 2 and 3. Brian, Revelation 1, 13 to 16. Bill, Revelation 22, 12. And Bonnie, Genesis 15:1. We'll go in that order too, okay?
Who was the sufferings of our Lord, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified.
Okay, Ezekiel 1:1 first. Now came to pass in the 30th year, in the 4th month, in the 5th day of the month, as I was among the captives by the river of Shebar, that the heavens were opened, and I saw visions of God. Now verses 26 through 28. And above the firmament that was over their heads was the likeness of a throne, as was the likeness of a throne as the appearance of a sapphire stone, and upon the likeness of the throne was likeness as the appearance of a man upon it, above upon it. And I saw as the color of amber, as the appearance of fire round about within it, from the appearance of his loins, even the upward, and from the appearance of his loins, even downward, I saw as it were the appearance of fire, and it had brightness round about. As the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud in the day of rain, so it was the appearance of the brightness round about. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell upon my face, and I heard a voice of one that spake.
Revelations 4:2-3. And immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne, in sight like unto an emerald.
Revelation 1:13-16. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girded about the paps with a golden girdle.
His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand 7 stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength.
Revelation 22:12. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according to his work shall be.
Genesis 15:1. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward.
You get it? You get what our reward, you get what we're looking forward to. We are going to see the Godhead in its fullness. All those verses, they saw visions of God, they saw visions of Him. We are literally going to see that appear one day. And what difference does it make what happens to us? Because
Amen.
That's what we're looking for.
Right.
Now, I'll say it again, too. What we're learning here, this is not to beat up our brothers and sisters who are pre-trib, mid-trib, or any other thing. This is to comfort one another, first of all, that He's coming. That's our reward. We're going to be with God forever. We're going to see the fullness of the Godhead, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. We should have compassion on them. Now, you guys have already got to know me. I'm harder on the teachers. I'm harder on the pastors because I think they're more responsible than I am the people sitting in the pews listening to them. But we should still have compassion on those people, not look at them and oh, they're pre-trib. They don't know what they're talking about. We should be open up that door to minister. Because it's coming.
And 1 Corinthians 10:13 is a good tool to use for that. No trials overtake the sick, such as this kind of man.
That's right.
To bring up through that. That's comfort for the
that's
people
right.
that are hurting to think that it should have been out of here by now.
Yeah. So, just one more thing. Day of the Lord, the resurrection, you've heard about these crowns. It's all the same crown. And I just want to give you some verses, then we'll get into tribulation and wrath. 1 Corinthians 9:23-25. And now you tell me, are there different crowns? Do you listen to these verses? And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I may be partaker with you. Know ye not that they which run the race receiveth a prize? So run ye to that ye may obtain. Every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible crown. It's 1 Corinthians 15, incorruptible. This corruption must put on incorruption. 1 Thessalonians 2:19. For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are ye not even at the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? So when is that crown given? At his coming. It's the same crown. 1 Timothy 4:6-8. For I am now ready to be offered. Here's Paul. He's about to die. They're about to martyr him. And my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous God, shall give me at that day. He didn't get it when he died.
No.
At that day. But unto all them that also love his appearing. He was just about to be martyred, but yet he's talking about a future day when he's going to get his crown.
Okay, Tom, you know that they say, you can't say always or never about that case. However, using the words that day, do they always apply to that day in the Bible?
From what I can see, yes.
It's always.
I could be wrong, but from what I can see, I'll tell you what.
Seems like it.
I've studied the word, because people will say, well, this whole thing.
Yeah, because it takes like 1,000 years.
I studied it.
Right.
Because, you know, a lot of people say, well, Kevin was good in his day, which meant, you know, his whole lifetime.
Yeah.
But I've literally studied it. It's over 1,500 times the word day is used.
Yeah.
It means day.
Right.
It means that one day.
One 24-hour span of time.
That's right. And when God created, he did the heaven and the earth, and it was the first day. It wasn't, you know, but what does he say about a day with the Lord? This is the only other time where the reference is different, and it's in 2 Peter, and it's in, I think, Psalms, where it says, the day of the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is in a day. It's talking about this event. 1,000 years.
Mm-hmm.
That's the day, right? So he's talking about this event, and then the 1,000 years is going to continue.
Could it also refer to Adam? Because Adam died spiritually when he sinned, but he died physically before 1,000 years happened, so we technically died the first day.
That's right. Exactly.
Even now, Luke, I'm sorry, go ahead.
There's the scripture that that those that suffered so that they might obtain a better resurrection.
Yeah. Hebrews 11. That's Hebrews 11.
Right.
That some of the, and then he, Psalms, that same verse there talks about some women had their children raised from the dead, but he didn't call that a resurrection, did he? Right? He said that they might obtain a better resurrection.
So there seems like a gradient.
And you know who's mentioned in that by the resurrection? Jephthah.
Yeah.
What did Jephthah do? He offered his daughter. He made a promise, but he knew there was going to be a better resurrection.
So you're talking a better resurrection, maybe the last
one. This one. Right. You're quickened. Right now, you're quickened. Your life. You're given an eternal life. You don't receive it until here, till the day of salvation. Right?
The first part of the image that was given us was with the people that were right from the beginning, but it was a picture of who God was in appearance.
Yeah.
Is that crown that the Lord is speaking of, is it possible that is the resurrected body which we're given?
That's exactly the crown. And what does he say? He has many crowns on his head.
Yeah.
So we're the body, you know, it just, there's so many dimensions to the Bible. It's not just linear, and like to understand it like that is to, you know, the Bible is visual. Those verses we just read, it's drawing a visual picture. And that's what I try to do here. This is really more for me than it is. I try to show it so you can see it visually. I think it helps, but it really helps me more to show it visually. And I hope it's helping. Okay, so James 12. Blessed is the man who endureth temptation, for he is tried. He shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. So remember that, the crown of life. Remember that, we're going to get into this in a little while. 1 Peter 5:1, the elders which are among you I exhort, and who I am an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory. It's all the same crown. They may see, hear some of these people say, well, you know, you're getting all these different crowns, and it's your works in this world that you're building up these crowns, and you're going to try to be balancing them. No, it's all the same crown. It's a resurrected body right here.
To help back that up, we are the crown of his glory.
Right. That's right.
The church, those who have believed in Christ. And it is a singular. We, the body of Christ, is the crown of his glory.
That's right. Exactly. And even the stones in his crown. What does he say? That you're going to be given a new stone.
A new stone. Or
so here's a warning. In Revelation 3:11, it says, behold, I come quickly. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that which is fast, that no man take thy crown.
Right.
So there's a warning there. You know, we say it all the time. Just because you say something, that means nothing.
Mm-hmm.
God's going to prove that. He's going to prove that now, and you are to endure until the end, either to the end of your life or until he shows up.
So the crown, right before that, we're going to throw the crowns at
wrong.
His
feet.
Wrong. Amen.
Okay.
What does it say? It says the 24 elders cast their crowns.
That's right.
Okay.
Why? So, boy, we're all right. We're just going to take our time, right? So the 24 elders, when you read them, we'll get to it when we get to Revelation 4. But I'm just going to throw this out there. Go read it for yourself. They're already crowned. They're already arrayed in white robes.
Mm-hmm.
They're already sitting in the throne room, which no man is allowed until after the plagues are poured out. They're an angelic order of elders. They're an order. Where, and why are they tossing their crowns? Because the kingdoms of this world are going to become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. These are principalities that sit under Christ that he sends out into the world to help govern things, right? So now Christ is about to take control of the planet again. They cast their crowns to him, saying, thou art worthy, O Lord.
So if you're saying that we're the crown, if they're casting their crowns, are they throwing themselves at his feet?
No, they're giving up the authority.
What they've had authority over.
Yes.
These are who have come to salvation under
That's
us.
Right.
And this is what we this is what's come to. He does give us an authority to act on his behalf.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. We're going to be kings and priests during this.
Yes.
During this time, we're going to be kings and priests.
Representing.
We're going to minister to things in the temple, or we're going to be rulers of areas.
So you're saying they are angelic beings,
absolutely.
Or they are the tribes?
You're an angelic. People have been trying to figure out who they are. They start counting from Adam. They start counting 24 people. They're an angelic order of elders.
Mm-hmm.
That's all they are. Well, we'll get to them when we get to Revelation 4. So, tribulation. Here we go. If you got a sheet, you can see right there. It's mentioned 26 times in your Bibles. Right? So this is Webster's 1828 that uses the King James Bible to define words. So you can see right here, it says severe affliction, distress of life, vexation in Scripture often denotes troubles and distress which proceed from persecution. That's tribulation. So to me, I don't think you just take those words from Webster's 1828. You have to prove that in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
You don't just get to say that. So if you just look at your sheets, John right there, John 16:33 says, these things have I spoken unto you that you might have peace. In the world you shall have
tribulation.
Now remember what we're talking about here. Is there any verse that you're going to see that says we don't have tribulation or we are removed before tribulation?
Mm-hmm.
Clearly, God knows what he's talking about. Either a pre-trib rapture starts the tribulation, or a post-trib rapture ends it. So there is no verse. When I started studying, there is no verse that says we are not appointed to tribulation, or that we are removed before tribulation. There just wasn't one. So Acts 14:22, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in faith that we through much tribulation enter the kingdom of God. Anybody being removed yet? I don't see it.
You said much, and it says must.
Right.
And I just...
Much.
Would it have been typo?
And much in tribulation.
Okay, it says must here.
Does it?
Yes.
Must. We must.
Oh, yeah, we must.
Through much.
Yeah.
Oh, through
much. We must through much. I'm sorry.
I'm a little
slow. No, I'm
sorry.
Okay, so Romans 8, 35-39. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Remember that. Remember, no, He loves us.
Right.
He's not going to allow anything to happen to us that He is not in control of, or that He is not going to intervene.
Doesn't that go right along with 8:28, Romans?
Yeah, that's right.
All things work together for good.
That's right.
Right?
That's
so,
right.
Even going through that time, what's it going to produce in God's eyes?
Faith.
Faith. And faith is good.
That's right.
If we hold on to that end, then it will be good. So we got to persevere through that time to receive the goodness that we find in that time. I know I've grown the most through tribulation.
That's right.
You know, I get stronger, I learn more. You get calluses, it's better to go through it than to avoid it.
Yes. You know, there's peaks and valleys in the Christian life.
Amen. Yeah.
I don't know, when everything's good up here, I'm fine.
Yeah.
I need Him here. And that's when He seems to be doing His best work in my life, in the battle for burdens. And it's just drawing me into Him.
Yes.
It's drawing me closer into Him to trust in Him,
right,
and not myself.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so Romans 8:35-39. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall, what's that saying?
Tribulation.
Or distress, or what's that saying?
Persecution.
Or famine, or nakedness, or peril, right? You know what it says in 1 Timothy 4? Perilous times will come. It doesn't say you're going to be removed before perilous times. Or peril, which means danger, risk, hazard, jeopardy, or a sword. For as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors.
Amen.
Through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any creature shall separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Right.
Hang on that. Just hang on that. No matter what happens, He knows what's going on, and He's going to intervene. I promise that. So 1 Thessalonians 3:3-4, that no man should be moved by these afflictions. That's a defining word for tribulation, afflictions. For you yourselves know that we are appointed. It doesn't say we're not appointed to these things. It says we are appointed to them.
We're Americans, though.
Yeah, we're Americans. That's only for Koreans and Chinese.
Yeah.
We are appointed thereunto. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer what? Has anybody seen a verse yet that says we're not appointed to it? That we're removed before it. I haven't. I just believe this.
Right.
That's all that matters.
Like you said over and over, the Word of God says that the church will go through tribulation. If they hated Christ, if
that's
they
right.
Put Him through tribulation, expect it. Because the servant is not better than his master.
That's right.
Right? And
that's right.
If they did that to Christ, how much more will they do to us?
Yeah.
But remember, it is okay. Because He says nothing can separate us, even if we are burned in the fire. Nothing can separate us, even if we are drowned in the ocean. No angel can take us, right? Even in the midst of that tribulation, we are in Christ Jesus. So we'll lose this flesh, but this flesh is going to die anyhow.
Exactly. Even at the rapture, even the ones that your body's going to die, you're
right.
Still going to die. Even when these people get caught up, their body is still going to die. The only difference is they probably won't taste the sting of death.
Right.
They will just be transformed. Yeah. But that body has to come off.
Amen.
It's appointed for man once to die. God does not mess around with his word. He means what he says, and he says what he means. It is appointed for what man wants to die, then cometh the judgment. So there you go. Their judgment is on that day too.
Isn't there scripture, and I am not trying to be argument. I'm with you on this, all right. But isn't there a scripture that talks about you are not appointed to wrath?
Well, wrath and tribulation.
We're going to get into it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Two different things.
So that's it. Wendy? Are those the same words?
No.
Okay.
No.
All right, so hold on. Okay, so we're going to get through it.
Many times, so Christians use Romans 8:35-39 as assurance of salvation.
Yeah.
Never to lose it.
Yeah.
They confuse the word love with how do I say it? Keeping holy.
Yeah. Yeah. Once saved, always saved.
Once saved,
yeah.
Always saved. It says right here, I'll never lose his love.
That's right.
Listen, your kid can spit in your face and prompt you to the ground. Do you love him any less?
Well, and that's just the point, too. When you keep reading, you read through Romans, first, he's warning you. He's warning you not to boast against the Jews. He's constantly warning you to just examine yourself, hold on to yourself. Don't think you've ever arrived until there.
Right.
Right? Yeah. So that's what I say. That's what they do. This is dispensationalism. This is what has perverted the Word of God since 1830. Nobody ever heard of it. Nobody even ever heard of dispensationalism for 1830 years. And then here comes this guy, John Nelson Darby. He comes on the scene with Charles Taze Russell, all the cults, Mary Baker Eddy, Seventh-day Adventism. He comes on the scene with the rest of them, but yet the rest of them we call a cult. But this guy here who starts teaching this kind of stuff, dispensationalism, once saved, always saved, pre-trib rapture, we've embraced him. Oh, no, he made the book with all those charts in it. Oh, he can't know, and he said that the Holy Spirit called me. I could show you in that book, Dispensational Truth, everywhere he's lied. When he doesn't like what the King James says, he goes to the New American Standard Version, and he changes words. He says that the heavenly Jerusalem, which the King James says is four square,
right.
That means it's dimensional.
Mm-hmm.
He said it's the pyramid. And the all-seeing eye on top of it.
Right. And he does. I got the diagram if you want to see.
That's right.
Well,
they're Freemasons.
Yeah.
All of them. Jehovah's Witness, Mormonism, they're all Freemasons. And so is John Nelson Darby.
Mm-hmm.
And so is Clarence Larkin, who
right.
took Darby's teachings and put them in a book, a bunch of charts. Right, Doug?
Uh-huh.
Right? This is what's perverted
mm-hmm.
Christianity.
Yeah.
That this thing... Okay.
Well, Harry Gatton was a strong man, at least over the nations at that point. Because
absolutely.
Because those people we see are just simply the evidence of what the principalities in heaven are.
That's true.
Before.
That's right.
Up until that point, that prince was withheld.
Yeah.
Whatever, that prince of the air, that prince
yeah.
of the air. Not,
yeah.
not a good one,
right.
but a bad one.
Right.
In understanding that, is to understand where our battle truly is.
Right.
That helps to release the anger towards individuals.
Right.
Even though they've been deceived, they have partaken. So there
that's
is
right.
a guilty factor, but not for ours really to call out.
Right.
But this is a principle. And we can see that. If we look through time,
yeah.
principalities have been released over nations, over over towns, over
that's right.
over cultures, over
yes.
everything. There's a principle. It's a very firm
yeah.
hierarchy, and according to what we desire, that's what the Lord really has
allows
to come.
Allows.
I would say that with the tribulation and wrath, the Lord is above both of those.
Mm-hmm.
Tribulation is what He allows Satan to pour upon us. Wrath is what He pours upon the unjust.
Mm.
That's the difference between the tribulation and wrath in a simple form.
Right.
Tribulation, what Satan is trying to lure us with or defeat us with.
Yeah.
Wrath is what God pours out on those who have rejected his salvation.
Right.
Well, and tribulation clearly refines us.
Yes, that's how God makes, because God makes good of all things.
Yes.
He works all things to good.
Yes.
He allows the tribulation for the very act of purifying it.
Yes.
The furnace, the gold purified the fire. Fire ain't comfortable, but it makes the gold pure.
Absolutely. And then, and we'll see, like what you're just saying, here's verses we're going to look at that say that. Mm-hmm. So 2 Thessalonians 4, I have Mark, before we go.
So tribulation is not just within the 7-year period. It's
That's right.
So you guys mentioned on the sheet, tribulation is what we're going through now.
And not only us, the whole world goes through it. I mean, you don't have to just be a believer to go through tribulation. Yeah, an unbeliever or mommy's got cancer. They're going through tribulation. Right?
The whole earth groaneth for the day of redemption. The whole earth is going through this tribulation. Remember, when God created everything, lions were not killing lambs. All right? There was that thing, and God's going to recreate that in his time. Alan had asked about love, right, and how nothing can separate us from the love of God, and people use that for eternal security. God even loves the sinner that's cast to hell because he was made in the image and likeness of the Father. All right? So even that person that has sinned against God, he still loves them. That nothing separated that love from them until that day of judgment.
We're all blessed.
Yes,
right.
Amen. We're all blessed. Yes.
So he still loves, he created us.
And
right.
He brings his reign upon, he reigns his reign upon just and
just.
Touch
and
just.
Yes.
He speaks to Judas when Judas comes into training. He's called him the devil.
Yeah.
He said that Satan is indwelled him. He said he was a son of perdition. He said he was appointed to that gift. When it comes to turning in, Jesus says, "Friend, why have you come?" He has still got a friend even to him. He is a friend to all people.
Right.
Are we his friend? Because that's
right.
The requirement that completes the fellowship.
Yes.
He has always been everyone's friend. Are we truly a friend to him?
Everybody's
got a friend where it's one direction. There's no value in it.
Right.
When a friendship is in both directions, it's a relationship, and that's what he calls us to.
Yeah. Yeah.
For God so loved the world.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So on your sheet it says 2 Thessalonians 4:1. It's actually 2 Thessalonians 1. So we'll just pick it up there. For we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God with your patience and faith and both your persecutions and tribulations that you endure. Your persecutions and tribulations that you endure.
Endure, right.
Which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God. So you just said he's judging you. He's allowing you to go through those things because he's judging you. He's testing you. Are you going to draw into me, Tom, or are you going to push away and go to the bottle, or you know, go do drugs, or go do something, or are you going to draw into me, right? Seeing it is a righteous thing that God will recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. So they're going to get it, but they're going to get it worse. Because their tribulation, wrath is added to their tribulation.
Mm-hmm.
We don't see wrath.
Oh,
we do not see God's wrath.
I thought you said we were going to go through that was my
point. But we will. We'll get into it, you know. Verse 7. And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. What is that? Is that here? Or is it here? It's here. And why? First, he descends. He called Michael, comes with him, who is the captain of the Lord's host. Michael has an army, right? They descend. He resurrects people to him. They are gathered to him. And the angels go and gather the rest of us up with his mighty angels, right? Verse 8, in a flaming fire, take vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction and from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Look at 8. In a flaming fire taking vengeance on them. When? Here. He doesn't do it here. And that's what we're told he's revealed. He can't be revealed both times. He's revealed, he appears one more time, Hebrews 9:28 says.
Right.
So either it's here or it's here. Everything's pointing here. Everything. Okay, so Revelation, here's John, right? John writes the book of Revelation. Gabriel's dictating it to him. And Jesus intervenes every once in a while and speaks with him. John. I, John, also am your brother and companion in
tribulation.
What did they do to John?
They burned him
alive. They tried to boil him.
Mm-hmm.
He survived this.
Right.
He survives it. They said, we can't kill this guy. Let's send him to an island and banish him. He goes to Patmos, and we get the book of Revelation from John. But first they tried to, he says, I'm your companion in tribulation. And in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ was on the Isle of Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. So why does God, Romans 5, 1 through 9, why does God allow us? Because God, you wouldn't beat up your bride before you married her. Right?
That's interesting.
That's interesting that he went through that purification just prior to that revelation.
Absolutely.
Where he stood,
yes.
Where he actually stood before the
That's
Lord
right.
in Revelation.
That's
that
right.
was that pure, you know, the Old Testament examples that in 40-day fast, that would, whenever they would seek the Lord, they would purify themselves for 40 days.
Absolutely.
That's 40 days is a pretty serious fast.
Absolutely.
And they were only presentable unto the Lord at that point. Now
yeah.
that was just simply a shadow of what was to come
yeah.
later on in the understanding of the Spirit. They performed it in a physical sense, which was effective
right.
for their day, but we now know it, that purification. And it's beautiful that the Lord performs that for us. Imagine trying to do that yourself. Imagine trying
right.
to overcome this. You can't do it. It, of course, what the law taught us. But how gracious is it of the Lord that he will bring us through that purification that we can actually be in fellowship with him that much closer.
That's right.
That's a gracious thing. Tribulation is incredibly
Amen.
Gracious.
Amen.
It's a gift.
It's
God.
A training.
He says, "Don't. I got this for you guys.
Yes.
I got this.
Yeah.
I'll take care of this, and then we'll commune."
You sinning is tribulation because we don't want to. Right? So you falling into sin, falling into temptation, he allows that. But he's allowing it because he's refining
it. Well, yeah, he's got to show you where you need work.
That's right, yeah.
You know, because how many of us think we got to be? I'm cheap,
yeah.
right? Wait a second. Once
yeah.
you say that,
yeah.
get ready because your sin is going to be exposed.
Yeah, right.
And then you've got to deal with it. And
Absolutely.
That brings tribulation.
Well, the Bible
yeah.
says your sin will find you out.
There you
right.
go.
God's not mocked. It also
yeah.
says that the
yeah.
same verse says God is not mocked.
Yeah.
yeah.
And your tribulation worketh patience.
We're going to get to that.
Okay. All right.
What's the scripture that John, that Gabriel revealed to John? What's the reference?
Well, who is the messenger of who appeared to Mary? Who appeared to
right.
Daniel? Gabriel. So in we'll get to a Revelation 1. He says, I sent my angel.
Okay.
Gabriel is the messenger angel. Michael is the warrior. Okay, so we'll get into that. So, like Pastor said, why tribulation? Romans 5,
yes.
1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we also have access by faith into his grace, wherein we stand. Rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in
tribulation.
Knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope that made us not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, and is given unto us. So I actually need to stop there. I got some mind. Oh, okay. So look at verse 9.
Yeah.
Much more being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from
the wrath. Through him.
So why does God allow tribulation? It's for you.
Yeah.
He's doing it for you. He's making something out of you. I've tried to deal with my own sins. I fail.
Right.
But when I fail, he says, keep coming back to me. I'm gonna take care of it. I remember I was in the garden and I was purging some things,
yeah,
some fruit, and I was cutting them off, and I was dealing with some things, and the Lord was bringing to me about purging things off. He's cutting the bad stuff off of you so you can bear the fruit. He
right.
produces it. He wants to produce more and more fruit in your life. He just wants you to bear it. You don't produce your own fruit. You can do nothing without him.
Right.
We're hopeless without him. And that's like where we just started. It is all about him.
Mm-hmm.
It is about seeing him, seeing the Godhead, see the one that, who are we? We're a bunch of sinners. Who are, but the holy God of the whole universe is going to appear one day, and sometimes I can't handle it.
And looking at that tribulation and wrath, going through the tribulation is what protects us from the wrath if we grow in the tribulation.
Yes.
All right, we've got to accept the chastening of the Lord, that tribulation that he allows to come into our life because of our sin nature. He allows that, and he allows it to become progressively worse the deeper the sin is. That way it can be purified so you would not have to experience the outpouring of the wrath of God.
Before I was afflicted, I went astray.
Amen.
Right. Now.
Now.
Yep. Now.
Yes.
Have I kept that word?
So, praise God that God loved you enough to put you in tribulation.
Yeah.
That's a good thing.
Yeah.
You know, have you ever thought about it or explained it to our kids? It's good that I'm spanking you right now because it's going to keep you out of jail.
That's right.
Yeah.
You know, I'm putting you in trouble. I'm restricting you. I'm taking the switch and striking your flesh that you might not go into a wrath of man. So I'm going to teach you how to respect an officer. I'll keep you from getting killed.
Yeah. Yeah. And he says that if you're not chastened by him,
you're not
chastised by him,
yeah,
you're a bastard.
Yeah.
I've had to stick with me by him.
Yeah,
I don't like it.
No.
I'd rather just try to stay in line here, right?
Yeah.
And stay away from the rod.
Yeah.
I've had it. I don't like it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I have some side verses here that I just want to continue with tribulation. Go ahead, Jake.
Daniel 11 indicates that it's actually also a mercy because, you know, the false doctrine that Christians have been taught from the start, you know, when they get saved, they're lied to that, oh, you made this prayer, you're set, you're locked in, nothing can rock your salvation.
Yeah.
You know? Daniel 11 says during the tribulation
mm-hmm.
that many are going to be made white.
Right.
They probably thought they were white.
Right.
And they weren't. They were
right.
deceived. But they at least know not to take the mark of the beast.
Right.
And they become white. Yeah, it's Daniel 11:35.
And I say that's the danger in really understanding this because knowledge puffs up. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So you can become very prideful understanding, oh, they got it wrong. That's not how this works.
Right.
This is about loving them.
Yes.
This is about Christ loving us. Who am I? Who are you? What are we all doing here together that Christ showed this to us? Who do we think we are that we don't share it with the other ones? And that's why I say at least share it with them so at least they have a testimony of it. And then let God deal with it.
That knowledge comes to pride when we use it against others.
That's right.
That knowledge comes to humility when we use it against ourselves.
Amen.
That's the trigger that you want to always focus on.
That's right.
The knowledge that he gives us don't look like it's to change somebody else.
That's right.
That'd be
yes.
prideful.
Amen.
Say, oh my gosh, this is speaking to me.
Right.
This is speaking to me. This has to be applied to me, and it becomes very humble.
Although I'll say this, he holds this word
above.
This is so.
Yeah.
So here's my point. My problem isn't so much with the laity, the people. My problem is the teachers,
Amen.
And that's what Jesus did.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He went after them.
Yes.
He let them have it. He held nothing back. You hypocrites, scribes, Pharisees, Sadducees. You tithe the cumin and anise, and you know you will leave out the lighter matters, grace and mercy. You know he let them have it. He called them as serpents, generation of vipers. My problem is the MacArthurs,
right.
the Youngs, the Mistlers. These guys that are teaching them, and I say it all the time, they're smarter than I am.
Right.
How is it that I can see this, and I'm just some dope living in Bristol, New York, but yet the highly educated, you know, and then you try to show them, well, you said this here, get out. Who are you to talk to me? You didn't go, you don't have a whole bunch of letters after your name. Who do you think you are? They're just Pharisees. That's what's because they're becoming the Pharisees.
Pride?
That's right.
Yes.
Yeah. Pastor, Matthew 24, Asha, Mark 13. Matthew 24, 21, 27, and then 29 to 31.
For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor shall there be. 27?
Mm-hmm.
For as lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Then shall appear in the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and glory.
Okay, so what did he say? He said, those days shall be great tribulation. Great. The Bible does not say the great tribulation. It says great, which means tribulation that is great. Doesn't mean wrath. It means it's such a high intensity of persecution, and to me, that takes place during this time. After he steps into the temple, says, I'm God, worship me, right?
Yes.
That's when he really goes after the church. That's when the mark is offered.
Right.
First you have to worship him, then you'll take the mark.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it works. You're not going to just knock you out and put some vaccine in your forehead, and you're going to be worshiping the devil. You are going to align yourself, not you, not us. They are going to align themselves with him when he steps into the temple and he says, I'm God, worship me. And don't forget, he makes a covenant with Israel here.
Right.
Two-thirds of them take his side.
Yeah.
Only one-third are saved. I don't know if you read Zechariah 13, 8, 9. 13, 8, 9 says one-third of them are saved. Which means two-thirds of them align themselves with the synagogue of Satan. Synagogues are Jewish temples.
Mm-hmm.
They're not churches. They're not mosques. They're not Hindu temples. They're Jewish synagogues.
So it's two-thirds of Israel.
Jewish.
That are Jewish.
That's right. So, Asha, you got Mark 13. Mark 13. Same thing. Right? He called it Great Tribulation, right?
Mm-hmm.
He called it. Okay, Mark 13. 19, and then 24 to 27.
For in those days shall be affliction, such as was not from the beginning of the creation which God created, unto this time neither shall be. For false Christs and false prophets shall rise, and shall show signs and wonders, to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect. But take ye heed, behold, I have foretold you all things. But in those days, after that tribulation, the sun shall be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light. And the stars of heaven shall fall, and the powers that are in heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. And then shall he send his angels, and shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from the uttermost part of the earth, the uttermost part of heaven.
Okay, so did you catch it? He called it, Matthew called it Great Tribulation.
Mm-hmm.
Mark called it affliction.
Affliction.
Same thing. Did not call it wrath. Right? So what is going to happen before Christ comes, before the notable day of the Lord?
Tribulation.
Sun and the moon darkens.
Oh, yes.
So there's an event we're looking for. Mm-hmm. That the sun and the moon are going to darken after the tribulation of those days. Right? And then Matthew 24 says he gathers them, sends his angels, and gathers them from heaven to heaven.
Right.
Right? This is what we've talked about. This is the resurrection. Where are the dead saints right now? Where are their souls?
they're going to have here. This.
They're going to get clothed. He's going to draw them into him. Mark 13, same verse, said they're going from earth to heaven. This is 1 Thessalonians 4. The Lord himself shall descend, and he shall gather... how's it going? But anyway, he gathers them from heaven, and then we which are alive shall be caught up.
Right.
It's the same thing. It's no different than what he's saying. But yet, and I say this because some of us understand this. Doug, when I said about the bride, they'll say, well, Matthew 24 is not for us. It's for the Jews. Because there's about four verses where it says, let them be in Judea, flee.
Those in Jerusalem.
Yeah, they're going to bring you into the synagogues. See, it's not for us. Yes, it is. It's all for you. There's no verse that says, I'm not speaking to the Jews right now. He's warning them. I say it again. I say it all the time. He's not coming to Caledonia.
Right.
Everything is going to take place in Israel. He's coming to Israel. He's going to stand on the Mount of Olives. He's warning them. He's warning Jewish people living in Israel at that time, flee. When you see this event, flee. Lauren, two-thirds of them are going, I'm not going anywhere. I'm with him. Right? Is there a synagogue in Caledonia and Rochester?
One.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It says they're going to bring you into synagogues.
Yeah.
Who? They are. They're going to bring you into synagogues. And it doesn't just say synagogues. If you look at, I think it's in Matthew, it says that you'll be brought before kings and rulers.
Yeah, kings and rulers.
Those aren't just in Israel. They're going after us. Jesus said, for my name's sake, they're going to persecute you. They're not persecuting a bunch of unbelieving Jews living in Israel. They're going to I think we said it last time. If a Jew is saved right here, what is he? He's a Christian.
Right.
So he's still going up. It's not until there are people that aren't on board that are Jews that look on him whom they have pierced. That's them. That's this group here that is offering during the temple. This is an opinion. I think the people that start sacrificing and trying to go back to the law, I think God's going to honor it. We know that doesn't save them, right?
Right.
But I think this group of people here that want to go back to Torah, I think God honors that. And then at this event, he stops the daily sacrifice. He starts persecuting them and us. So you have the two witnesses during this time, Elijah and Moses. They are preaching to these people Jesus Christ by the law and the prophets. Except now they're adding Matthew, Mark, Luke. And that when they get killed and they see them go up with us, then they go, we'll look on him who we have pierced.
But they're going back to the sacrifice because that's what they know.
Right.
It's not as though they know Christ as their Savior. And
right.
Oh, we don't want that. We're going back.
Right. Yeah. And that's what he said. I mean, once again, God's going to prove to them this never did anything. Nobody saved, got saved by
doing. But you'll honor that because that's all they know.
Yeah.
Had they chosen Christ and then decided to go back to the law.
Yeah, because you look, I think 75% of Jews are secular.
Yeah.
Most of them are secular. And
85% of Christians are secular.
Yeah, exactly. That's right. But even a lot of Jews that are practicing some kind of religion, they're practicing Kabbalism.
Right.
They're not practicing Torah. That thing rocking, that's not
Torah. It's kind of obscene.
It really is. If you really saw the depths of it, it's perverted.
It's perverted.
It really is.
Yeah.
Nobody told them to dress like that.
Are you Kabbalah? I'm not familiar with it.
It's witchcraft.
Yeah. It actually came out of Babylon. It's Babylonian witchcraft.
It's over there.
That
it's like
when the Jews were taken in captivity to Babylon, they brought it back. That's Talmud.
Okay,
Judaism. Not Torah. That's Talmud.
Okay.
Yeah. So.
Corruption beyond belief.
Now, just real quick, in verse 28 of Matthew, for where the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together.
Okay.
That's an interesting thing.
That's a rabbit hole, but I'll just say this. Read Revelation 19.
Amen. Right.
Read Revelation 19. That's going to tell you who the carcasses are and who's feeding on them.
Big feast.
It's not us.
That's right.
It's not good. Yeah. It's Armageddon, basically. But if you want to get an understanding, that people have been trying to understand it. God makes it easy. A lot of things he does in here are redundant, repetitive. They're very hard. He says that in Matthew 28, he says it in Luke 17, and he says it in Revelation, the same words, where the eagle is, the carcass is gathered. He says that in the Old Testament, and it's always pointing about the wicked being slaughtered.
Yes.
And the birds feasting on them. So,
I just wanted to kick that horse because I needed to straighten it out.
So here's a thought for you. So in order for this to happen, for them to take us into the synagogues and stuff that you're speaking around the world, for this to happen, we need to have that one world order.
Absolutely.
Amen.
Are you not seeing it?
Yes.
Are we not seeing it?
Yes. Absolutely.
I mean, there's a lot of pastors that, this is what frustrates me, especially where I was going, because I was very close with him. And that was basically where I said, Ezekiel 33, we're supposed to be warning people
right.
of what's coming. You're leaving out prophecy, which Jesus said, I am the spirit of prophecy.
Mm-hmm.
You're leaving out, I'm not going to say the most important, but one of the most important things was his first coming or his second coming. In the first coming, they were accountable. They were supposed to know, right? What did he say? If you wonder, you know, who I am, think of the signs I'm doing, the wonders I'm doing. And they kept saying, well, you know, you're doing it by Beelzebub. They should have knew, according to Daniel,
mm-hmm.
he's here.
Right. He's here.
All they had to do was start counting.
Yep.
He's here. And he was doing all these miracles, and he's raising the dead, the lepers, the healing, the arms, all this stuff. And they say, show us a miracle. Have you not been watching?
And wasn't that who Anna and who's the other one that was in the temple when Christ was? That they compelled him because they knew the numbers. They knew.
Oh, yeah.
Zacchaeus. Right?
Yeah, the old kid.
But you people recognize this is the Christ.
That's right.
He already now actually seen the Lord.
Yeah.
Anna, what's the old guy's name?
Yeah.
Zacchaeus. Well, I mean, and there you go, Wendy. They knew.
Yes.
John the Baptist, you know, he knew who he was. The apostles, the Messiah's here. They knew who he was, but the religious leaders, because of their pride. And that's what's going on today.
Amen.
I think what's important with that understanding there is that the lady there that recognized he was the Lord, she was married for 7 years and then lost her husband. And she spent the entire rest of her life into her 80s, I think. She was in her 80s, strictly serving the Lord. That's why she recognized it, because she was a friend of God.
Right.
God was just not her friend. She was actually a friend of God. And the old man was the same way.
Yeah.
It speaks of his devotion to the Lord. That's why they saw it.
That's right.
Because they didn't trust in men or trust in men's doctrines.
That's right.
They studied the Lord.
Yeah.
You know, the Lord kind of showed me this. During the time of the Old Testament, people didn't really understand what was going on until it was ended.
Mm-hmm.
And then the New Testament came, I don't want to call it the New Testament, I know that bothers, but the Gospels came forth, Jesus came forth, nobody understood it. They stayed with the law. Okay? And now we have the Holy Spirit with us to bring us into the new revelation, and everybody's hanging on the Gospels. Not that they're bad, but should we recognize truly what the Lord is telling us in the season that he's telling us?
Yeah.
Or are we going to be that? Are we going to be the Pharisees again?
That's right.
When the Gospels were here, we stuck in the law.
That's right.
Now that the Holy Spirit is here, I'm going to stay stuck in the Gospels, even though there's great benefit to them. We have to understand the future of it or the presence that we're in.
Absolutely.
Not hang to the old.
Yeah.
Now, remembering gospel is good news.
Yes.
That's right.
All right.
Yes.
So the gospel was in the so-called Old Testament.
That's
as
right.
Much as
yeah.
it is.
Yeah.
It's
right.
the same grace of God from Genesis through the Revelation.
That is the gospel.
That
yeah.
is
it's not just
right.
the death, burial, and resurrection.
Right.
It's centered around the death,
yes.
burial, and resurrection. But it's God's grace poured out. That's good news.
Mm-hmm.
Gospel, good news. Great tidings.
It's the same
right.
exact message through three different witnesses. God
it's
the
right.
Father,
it's
God
right.
the Son, and God the Holy
well, what's
Spirit.
The,
what's changed.
What's the good news?
Three.
Lord, what is the good news?
The good
sinful
news.
Man
sinful
is fallen.
Man, yes.
But God in his grace and mercy is going to redeem him.
Yes.
That's the good news. Yes. Now, it is centered around the death, burial, and resurrection. But a lot of people say that's the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection. It's not. It's that man is sinful and God is graceful.
Yeah.
Then we have a living hope.
That's right.
We have a living hope. That's what it says in the beginning of Revelation.
That's right.
You understand you have a living hope, you're blessed. This is his grace.
That's right. Mark 13, 11 to 13. Kevin, Luke 21, 12 to 19. And Julie, you want to read? 2 Corinthians 1, 2 through 10. And you're going to read first. So this is all, I did this because this is all the same. I like themes. This is all the same theme. Okay. So we'll go Julie first, then...
1 through 10.
Yeah, say your scripture before you read.
1, 2 through 10.
Then we'll go Julie, then Mark, then Kevin.
Okay, so this is 2 Corinthians 1, 2 through 10. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as you are partakers of the suffering, so shall you be also of the consolation.
Amen.
For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. But we have the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, and whom we trust that he will yet deliver us.
Did you teach me to read like that?
That's what I'm saying. She's the designated reader.
Yeah. I'm a hack.
Yeah, that's homeschool. That's what it gets you right there.
You take your parents for homeschooling.
Amen. Amen.
Okay, so you saw the theme there.
Yes, right.
He comforts us. He, not you, not your own flesh, not because you're Rambo. He comforts you in all tribulation and persecutions. Right. Why? Because he loves you. Now, these, I'm telling you, when I started understanding this, I started going, Lord, I'll run. I'll run from them. I'll lie. I'll cheat. I'll steal anything to defend myself. But these are the verses he gave me. He said, it's not about you, God. But listen to these verses.
Mark 13, 11 through 13. But when he shall lead you and deliver you up, take no thought beforehand what ye shall speak, neither do ye premeditate. Well, whatsoever shall be given you in that hour, that speak ye. For it is not ye that speak, but the Holy Ghost. Now the brother shall be...
Go ahead. Finish.
Now the brother shall betray the brother to death, and the father the son, and children shall rise up against their parents, and shall cause them to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. He that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved.
How long did he
endure? To the end.
Oh. I didn't see a verse that says endure to the beginning of the tribulation.
No.
He says endure to the end. But who is the one that's going to strengthen you?
It's Jesus through the Holy Spirit.
That's right. That's right. That's what I'm hanging on.
Yeah.
I am counting on it. And not only that, I am counting on him intervening in everything in my life.
Amen.
To trust him more. And the more God wants to build your faith.
Amen.
That's
yes.
What he wants. He wants to build your faith. Where do you get your faith from? Faith coming by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
Amen.
So he didn't say faith coming by listening to Chuck Missler.
Right.
He didn't say that. He said faith, get in your Bible. Get in your Bible, start. I don't care where it is. Just start reading it.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, believe it the way he says it. And don't read the commentaries.
Amen.
Don't go to the scholars. Ask the Holy Spirit to teach. I don't open up my Bible without saying, please show me something.
Shouldn't 14, verse 14 be added to that?
What is it?
Mark, we're in Mark 13, verse 14. But when you see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet, where ye ought not let him readeth understand, then let them that be in Judea flee from them to the mountains. But the Christians are taken up and not in the tribulation. Yeah. How do you see the abomination of desolation?
That's right. And that's what I say. You can just keep reading. You know, I wanted to cut it off where you could see the Holy Spirit's going to intervene. So there's a promise from Jesus that the Holy Spirit's going to intervene. Now listen to Luke 21.
Luke 21, verses 12 to 19, right? 12 to 19. Everybody get there? Mm-hmm. But before all these, they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. And they shall turn to you for a testimony. Settle it, therefore, in your hearts, not to meditate before what ye shall answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom, which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay, nor resist. And ye shall be betrayed both by parents, brethren, and kinsfolk, and friends, and some of you shall they cause to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. And there shall not an hair of your head perish, and your patience possess ye your souls.
So, are those, everybody have a Bible with the words in red?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's Jesus that said, I will do it.
Right.
I will, but Mark 13, the same verse, synoptic, says the Holy Spirit.
Right. Well, they are the same.
They're the same.
Yeah.
You can't have Jesus without the Holy Spirit. You can't have the Holy Spirit without God. You cannot know God without the Word of God.
Yes.
Jesus is the Word of God.
Right.
Do I not want to know Him more and more?
Mm-hmm.
I'm married. I've been married 30 years. Do I do all the talking, and when she speaks, I just kind of walk away and never listen? You speak to God by praying. He will put something on your heart.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we said it before. The modern American Christian, especially Baptist, that we've most of us have come out of, they're afraid of the Holy Spirit. They think we're going to be spitting, jumping up and down, doing cartwheels down the aisle. He will, the Holy Spirit will touch your heart. He
Amen.
Will speak to your heart, and it'll match this.
Amen.
That's how you know it's the Holy Spirit.
Amen. And yet the Holy Spirit will never say something contrary to the written Word of God. Ever. So if you say the Holy Spirit told me to leave my wife, that's not the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
The Holy Spirit told me to cheat on the IRS. That's not the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
I can say this. So the trials that we went through last year with his aneurysm and the accident and stuff like that. So my first thought when I had heard that, first of all, he was headed to the hospital, not knowing anything, not being able to get an answer, you know, at first I was a little bit frantic. But as soon as I prayed to the Lord, His peace came over me, and believe me, it is a peace that you really don't understand. Even myself, I didn't understand it. So to have a clear mind and be able to praise Him in it,
it's
beyond
gift,
me.
Right?
It's beyond, me.
It's a gift of the Holy Spirit.
It
That's an anointing
it
of God.
It is.
Saying, don't worry, my daughter, I got this.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's going to limp for a couple months, but he's okay.
Yeah.
That was a piece of candy.
That happened.
Well, you saw a miracle.
Right.
Yeah.
You saw a miracle.
Twice. Twice. And two, it opened me up to the Lord telling me not to worry that he would take
care
of medical bills.
That's right.
Yeah.
It was just like, I don't know where that came from, but it was just like, I didn't have to worry about medical bills.
I'd like to offer up that both of those events were very much a chastisement for the Lord. I knew the sin that I partook of. He made it very clear to me, and he chastised me in it.
Did he kill you?
He took me through the process of death and paid for that sin in the flesh that it was removed from me. Now, I'm not going to say that's always a path. I will not speak for God, but I can tell you that I participated in that. And nothing but good remains in my memory of it. Nothing but good.
That's right.
Any shadow of what was a frustration is gone.
Yep.
And only the goodness remains. And only God can do that.
Yep.
Right. There's nothing bad that happened. That's the best summer I've had in my entire life.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And I can honestly say, I'm not saying that to be a jamoke here. I'm
saying
that because it's true.
This group gets it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that can happen in Greek, where there isn't a miracle that changes everything.
Absolutely.
But it is in our depths that he shines bright, right? That he reaches us, and we can't comprehend until we have gone there.
Right.
And that was my piece when I went through my loss, was I don't know how this is going to work.
That's right.
I don't know how this is going to happen, but I know my God is great, and I know he's here with me. And it's just, it is that confidence.
Yeah. What does it say? I don't know what my future holds, but I know who holds my future.
Amen.
That's all that matters. Yeah. He's what matters.
Yeah.
If I could speak to one quick witness. We speak of this tribulation. That's where we're at right now. We're speaking of this expectation of tribulation. And honestly, we haven't been tribulated. There's not been tribulation.
There's
been some chastisement. We've caught the stripe a few times. You know, that's all well and good. We're children. We expect it. Just this past week, I work in a facility where I'm with the same people all the time. You know, it's the same routine day in and day out. And there's a couple people there that I always keep witness to. And they both flat out deny one flat out denies the Lord, says it just doesn't exist when you die, you're dead. And he actually proclaims he walked the Lord at one time. The other just knows that the Lord exists, but absolutely would partake of his pleasure now and pay the price later, which is a sad, sad reality.
Yeah.
He puts all his focus into his retirement. It's in money. And none of it is into his retirement in the spirit. And I'm not calling them out, but I will tell you this. Just this past week, something changed.
Mm-hmm.
And just the same old casual talk that I talked, both of them came offensively against me.
Yeah.
It's began, people.
Yeah.
Right.
I am personal witness to this. And I've known about this for a long time. I've been in agreement. And just this week, they both assaulted me.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's starting now.
Right.
It's by no coincidence that this understanding is being brought forth.
Oh, yeah.
Now, that may be personal for me, but I doubt it. I don't think I'm that. Mm-hmm. You know, there's no reason for it to be. I think that this is, I saw it for others to I want to say it. I think it's beginning right now.
I'm seeing it in that when I prayed about retirement earlier or to wait. And everything in me said, wait. Everything said, wait, because you have more money. You can.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, when I asked the church to pray, I prayed. The only word I could think of was I was compelled to retire now.
Yes.
I was compelled.
Right.
Once I was, and that was his hand, and that's exactly what I felt. Now is the time. I have this, and I need you out.
That's right.
I want you out of here. So I bear witness to that.
Yeah. HR1 is an attack on the churches.
Yes.
It's not about equality.
No.
It's an attack on the churches. Like you're doing up, they're doing it right now in Canada.
Yeah,
they shut that guy down.
Yeah.
Yep. He came out, he spoke against him, they put a fence around his church, and they put a bag over it.
But did you hear what the people did? All right, there are people coming for hundreds and hundreds of miles to the neighbor's yard and worshiping God outside.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so they brought him from the church that they couldn't go into to a field that they can't stop him.
Yeah.
Amen.
Well, that's right back to God saying, I will be blessed.
That's
right.
Okay.
That's right.
And when he came in on the donkey, they said, hey, tell him to quiet it down, you know? He said, that's okay, but the rocks are going to speak.
Yeah.
Okay.
You're right.
Yeah.
And so,
I know when they stole the election, my wife was saying, let's get out of here, let's go down south, when they're free. And we were talking about, back and forth. She said, what are we doing? You know this stuff.
Right.
Of anybody I know, she goes, you know this stuff, and now we're going to run? And here I am. I end up here with a bunch of group of people that were on the same page where for the last bunch of years I've been at another church. Every time I bring it up, they go, please, will you stop with that?
Stop kicking the same
horse.
That's
right. You bring it up again, you're sowing discord among the brethren. And I'm going, do you realize what you just said?
Yeah.
You're calling me an abomination.
Right.
It's not discord. It's not discord to take the scriptures and dig into them. Why? And I kept saying to him, I talk about it because you won't.
Yeah.
And you have to sit there,
and again, talking in the spirit, okay, and I was brought up in that church,
right.
Okay, where the spirit says, okay, the church that you were at, you will be blessed. I will be blessed through you. And he said, no, we don't want to be. Yeah. Okay, yeah. Never mind. I'm going to take him to a place yeah. that I will be blessed.
That's right.
And by the way, you had your chance.
That's right.
And you said no.
That's right.
That's how the Holy Spirit works. He'll talk to Stuart and say, hey, Stuart, I want you to say to Stuart, because I don't want to talk. Never mind. This guy has talked.
Whatever. You don't want to be blessed
one way or the other.
But I called him. I said, I'm leaving. I love the guy. To this day, I love the guy. The verse came to my head. I opened and I shut. When he shuts the door, it is shut.
Yes.
And he there were people that have been asking for me over at that church. And my sister, Moser, said, he's gone. He's not coming back.
Now, understand what the scripture that was read, that your brother shall come against you.
That's right.
Now, it's not talking about your mama's son that's your brother.
That's
he's
right.
talking in the body of
that's
Christ.
That's right. They're going to turn.
The people who call themselves Christian, your closest yes. friends inside the body of Christ, when you take this stance right here, expect them not to understand and to come against you.
Who persecuted the prophets?
That's right.
Amen.
Brethren. That's right.
The brethren.
The brethren. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And there was less of the prophets
yeah.
than there were of the leaders.
Right.
Right. There was more of them that were on the same page.
On the same page.
And they persecuted the ones and said, what the Bible says,
yeah.
wait a minute, the Bible says.
No, Jeremiah, thus saith the Lord.
That's
and
right.
the other false prophets said, don't worry about that.
Yeah.
Who was it? Elijah that ran into the desert trying to run and hide?
Mm-hmm.
Well,
yeah.
he didn't. The Lord sustained him.
That's right.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
The Lord took
you know how long?
Bed.
You know how long?
4 days.
3.5 years.
3.5 years.
Yeah.
And
finally, coincidence there?
And then after that, the little one took care of
him.
That's right. You're not going to lie. You're not. This could be the church's greatest hour.
It is going to be.
It will be.
It will be. As we're being persecuted, as we're going through the tribulation, God's name is going to be lifted up as, and I hate to put it this, no I don't, as we're being burnt at the stake and we're praying for those who are doing it to us. Not unlike the Catholic Church did to the Protestant believers in the beginning of the Reformation. All right? They prayed for those who were persecuted as they were being burned at the stake.
We got a couple verses. Let's just rip through this real quick. We're not going to get to wrath.
No.
Okay, but I just want to. So I just turn to Revelation 2, but I want to read you 2 Corinthians 7:4. This is Paul. What did they do to Paul? Paul was always in prison.
Right.
He was always being beaten.
Yeah.
Right. Great is my boldness of speech toward you. That should be us.
Amen.
Right. Great is my glorying of you. I am filled with comfort. I am exceedingly joyful. Joyful in
mm-hmm.
all my what?
Tribulation.
Tribulation. Paul. He was in prison. They beat him up. They killed him one time. They're close to death.
Mm-hmm.
He's joyful in his tribulations. All right, so let's just rip through this. Revelation 2. 8-11. Revelation 2, 8 through 11. Unto the angel of the church of Smyrna. This is a good church.
Yeah.
This is one of the two churches that he compliments.
Right.
What are we? Are we going to be a good church? Are we going to be a Smyrna or
right.
a Philadelphia church?
Yeah.
Or are we going to be Laodiceans? Let's be this, okay?
Yeah.
And the angel of the church of Smyrna, write these things, say at the first and the last that was dead and is alive. I know thy works and what?
Tribulation. Poverty.
And poverty, but thou, what does that mean? I know the tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. What does that mean?
You can't poverty in the flesh, rich in the spirit.
Absolutely. That's what I want. And that's what I want. I don't want your stupid money. I don't want your $1,400. I want my spirit to be rich. Okay. And I know the blasphemy, here it is, that say they are Jews, but are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan. Okay. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. The devil, Antichrist, shall cast some of you into prison that ye may be tried. And ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee the crown of life. Okay? He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. Remember we talked about the second death? Second resurrection, the unblessed, that's the second death. We're told we're not going to see that. You're going to get a crown of life. You're being tried. I don't see anybody being removed here. Okay. 18-23. Church of Thyatira. These things say the Son of God, who had eyes like a flame of fire and his feet like fine brass. I know thy works and thy charity and thy service and thy faith and thy patience and thy works and the last to be more than the first. They're working their way, Hebrew roots. They're trying to work their way to heaven. They're practicing, well, you need to keep Passover. You need to, right? They're trying to put their works ahead of them and then have God bless them. That's not how it works. Okay, notwithstanding, I have a few things against you because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, who called herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit fornication, to eat things offered unto idols. Who's Jezebel? She's a harlot. She's a harlot. She's a wife of a one of the worst. She's a picture. She's a type of mystery Babylon, the mother of harlots. That's who she is. She's in the church. I gave her space to repent of her fornication, but she repented not. Behold, I will cast her to bed with them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, and except they repent of their deeds, and I will kill her children with death, second death, right? And all the churches shall know that I am he that searches the reins and the hearts. He's trying them, right? There's another trial right there. So what's the deal here? She's in the churches, yet the churches can see that he's punishing her, which means we're in the great tribulation too, right? You have to be in great tribulation to see her in tribulation, great tribulation. Okay, one more. Revelation 7. After this, I beheld, 7-9. After this, I beheld all a great multitude, which no man can number of all nations.
Yeah.
All.
Many?
All.
What does that mean in Greek?
And kindreds, and people, and tongues, stood before the throne, and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, and palms in their hands. Everybody. That's everyone. Great tribulation affects everybody, because we're all the body. So this is everybody that is now gathered together, they're now clothed, resurrected, right? Verse 13, and one of the elders answered unto me, saying, which are these that are arrayed in white robes, and whence came them? And I said, sir, unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he said unto me, these are they which came out of
great
tribulation. Here, right? So where would you put Revelation 7, 9 to 13?
Right there.
See how this works? This is how Revelation works. It is chronological, but it does overlap. There are things that go back and forth. And I'm going to pray. And next week, bring your sheets. We're going to do wrath. Tribulation was supposed to go quick.
Nothing was quick in the
Does it help?
Amen.
Was it good?
Amen.
Praise God. Thank you, Father God. Thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Thank you for the perfect Word that enters into our heart and enlarges our heart, Lord, that it would these words would sink past our feeble brains and enter into our heart and draw us nearer into a closer relationship with you. Thank you for showing us, this group here, the truth. And let us not take this with any pride or vainglory, but to have mercy and compassion on those that don't see it. I thank you, Father God, for revealing these things to the babes and to the foolish of the world, Lord, that we may go out and witness of the grace of God through Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.
Amen.